Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, I'd like to thank our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be doing this important work. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Kara Brown, and she is with Smith Brown Marketing. Welcome, Kara.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Lee.
Before we get too far into things, tell us about Smith Brown. How are you serving folks?
Yeah, so we are a B2B lead gen only shop. So we don't do creative. We don't do a lot of advertising buying. We do a lot of lead gen specifically for sort of the supply chain, heavy industrial technology sector.
So how'd you get into this line of work?
So super long story. But the short of the long story is I was very fortunate. I was one of the first employees at a company called Echo Global Logistics in 2006. We grew 3,000% in 3 years, and my name is on that IPO press release. So it was a wild ride, but I got to take one of the first tech-enabled freight brokers public in my 20s. And so just sort of stayed with that, ended up in Atlanta in 2017. I learned about the stat that less than 2% of female founders will break $1 million in revenue in 2017. And I turned to my husband and I said, hold my beer, here we go. So we did it in about 10 months with an all-female team, and that was 2018.
But what drew you to lead gen as kind of your secret sauce?
So to be honest, digital marketing agencies are sort of a dime a dozen. But I have a tendency to be very direct. Maybe it's my Yankee nature, being from Chicago. And I don't love the design specific process. So when you sort of scan the scene for what's happening in marketing and sales, et cetera, I believe that marketing and sales should be one team, especially in the mid-market B2B space. So if you are a freight broker or a supply chain management software company, et cetera, you don't really need a six-figure CMO, but you do need a sales and marketing team that work together. And we provide that for our clients. And we hand them the leads, although we have sort of pivoted in the last 12 weeks.
So you don't hand them the leads anymore?
We actually make the first call now, which is super exciting.
Oh, wow. So then.
So about 12 weeks ago, when COVID hit, we started to make the calls for our clients. So for example, we have hired 26 laid off sales reps and put them back to work, dialing for our clients. And it's been a win-win-win. So our clients get warm leads put into their pipeline with actual SDR calls having been made by reps that have been trained by some of the best sales teams in the country. When everyone else was laying off their sales teams, we picked them up. And so our clients get the calls made by well-trained reps. The reps are, you know, doing work while everyone else is not doing work. So, and our clients are happy. So it's a win-win-win for everyone involved.
Now I want to dive in a little deeper to what a lead means. Like people talk about a funnel. Where is a lead in terms of a funnel? Is a lead somebody that's at the top of the funnel, or is a lead someone that's at the bottom ready to buy?
That's a great question. Every company feels a little bit differently about it. I believe that they're all leads. So whether you're leads or prospects or potential customers, whatever you want to call them, sometimes we say, you can call them purple unicorns. We don't really care as long as they're somewhere in the funnel. And we've identified six lead gen strategies that help our clients identify exactly where their potential customers are coming from. So whether it's trade shows and feet on the street, which clearly we're not doing anymore, all the way down to cold emails and cold phone calls or social or ABM, every business has a little bit of a different strategy to get at their ideal customer profile to put them in the funnel. So it all depends on sort of which customer we're talking about.
So when you're working with a customer, I guess number one is you have to define the terms, but also you have to say, okay, there's a strategy, a top of the funnel strategy, there's a middle of the funnel strategy. There has to be a strategy to kind of move people along and to keep vetting them and to making sure they're a right fit all the way till the finish line, right? And even probably beyond
exactly.
that.
Yeah, you let me know when you want a job, Lee. We are happy to pick you up. You just kidding. So of those six lead gen strategies, some work better for what we call top of funnel, some work better for mid funnel, and some work better for closing. So for example, the ABM strategy approach is sort of a new take. We used to call it targeted selling back in the day, right? Now it's ABM. And the ability to sort of put an attribution model, or how many times have we touched each of these people inside this organization from a B2B perspective, is sort of the new age of what's coming from a MarTech perspective, marketing technology perspective. So we're not the experts on everything for sure, specifically when it comes to customer retention. So we don't play in the sort of customer retention space, but we do a really good job of helping our customers understand who is their ideal customer profile, testing against the marketplace. So is this actually your ideal customer profile? And then helping them find net new leads to put into their funnel.
Now, when you're working with a firm, I would imagine you're not the first marketing/sales/lead, maybe only lead gen, but the marketing salespeople, they probably run across a person or two in their history. How do you kind of get them focused on the right metrics? Because in this world, you can measure lots of things, but lots of things aren't really worth being measured when it comes to leads and sales and actual results.
It's such a good question, Lee. We actually had this conversation internally just earlier today. Our perspective on the appropriate KPIs for sales and marketing is that everyone should carry a bag, including the marketing team. So if everyone is tied to revenue and if attribution is tied to revenue, then there's no question, right? What is the more successful channel? Who is bringing more leads to the table, et cetera. And so we spend a lot of time developing those KPIs with our clients, and they can live in different systems. So the KPIs of a front end SDR team who is potentially learning about the customer for the very first time is really important. I'm a huge Dave Gerhardt fan, and he's the CMO of Privy, and he is ubiquitous on LinkedIn. And one of the things he says is that he is now putting the sales calls on his phone for his morning jog. So instead of listening to a podcast, he's listening to the calls of his frontline SDRs, which I think is just genius. So everything from what is the sentiment that your prospects are showing about your product or your solution? How are people feeling specifically currently in the environment in COVID? Are we talking about CapEx expenditure that has to wait until 2021? Is their budget right now, et cetera, et cetera? So every client's a little bit different, but we like to focus on revenue generating measurement for sure.
So we call that here a green dollar ROI. That's so you're focused on the same thing, the actual cash.
I like that.
I mean, because a lot of times
I steal that from you.
But people get distracted by things that are maybe easier to measure. So they then equate, because it's easier to measure, that it's important. And it really, if it doesn't flow, like you said, down to the bottom line, it might be nice, you know, to brag about to your friends, but it's not really generating business.
That's right. We call those vanity metrics.
We call them
advertising team.
Here's another one you could borrow. We call them cosmetrics. So that's another little buzzword that we use. But it's the same thing, that it sounds good, looks good. Maybe some people think it's important, but it really doesn't really benefit the bottom line.
Yeah. And sometimes the vanity metrics can play a part in the story you tell, the math story that you tell, the analytic story. But if we can't prove attribution back to a vanity metric, we tend to leave it out. Maybe it's on like a slide or it's part of a report so that we're all aware. One of the big ones is like, you know, unique website visitors. if you're not an e-commerce company and you don't sell socks on your homepage, the number of homepage visitors isn't something that we spend a lot of time on. That's just a good example. We spend our time a lot further down the funnel with qualified leads that could potentially turn into customers.
But do you find that sometimes you're talking to the marketing person, maybe at your client, and they are very proud of some of these things that you really don't feel has a lot of weight and value?
I don't know what you're talking about, Lee. All of our customers are perfect. We have perfect customers. No one asks us for detail on metrics that don't matter or that we don't think matters. Yeah, I mean, I think every CMO, VP of marketing, VP of sales comes to an engagement with a consulting shop like ours with a specific filter, right? So this group is going to help us with X. Maybe it's helping move our Facebook leads from top of funnel to into the funnel to conversion. Or we need new ideas on how to get net new leads into the funnel. And so maybe we'll use social media, et cetera. So there's lots. We've identified 6 lead gen strategies, and some work better for clients than others. And oftentimes it's not about the funnel or even about the product. Oftentimes it's a lot about the marketing or the sales team and what they're really comfortable with. So if you've got a team that's really comfortable in LinkedIn Sales Navigator and they're using the tools really well and, you know, they're super efficient, that's a really different engagement than trying to get someone to track their activity in a CRM, right? It's a pretty different engagement. So everyone's a little different.
But when they're working with you, how much of your, at least initially, initial job is kind of some of this change management?
Yeah, sometimes it depends. We're a HubSpot Platinum partner. So we end up doing a lot of insert your favorite very expensive CRM or marketing platform here, right? A Salesforce, Marketo, Pardot, et cetera, to HubSpot. So I believe that Salesforce and their compatriots are coming down from enterprise into the B2B mid-market. And HubSpot's on its way up, right? They started as a free CRM. The software itself has gotten much more robust. They have an ABM model now that we can use for clients. And the Smith Brown team is really on the crux of that happening at the B2B level. We have a client based in the Midwest that has 200 sales reps, and they are using the HubSpot CRM and marketing automation platform to run their entire prospecting engine. So I believe that there are really good places for people to think about pivoting. And so you're not wrong. Sometimes we walk in the door and we say, hey, you know, this piece of technology isn't working that well, or maybe we should change our processes here a little bit. Usually when a lead gen or a marketing sales team is brought in, there's a leader that is hoping for some change, right? So we don't usually get a ton of pushback because the team has sort of agreed together, hey, we need to try some new things, and this team is going to help us with that.
So now for you at this stage of the growth of the company, what's the funnest part of the business?
Oh my gosh. The most fun part is helping other women scale their businesses. This has been the highlight of my career so far. And I'm relatively young, so I'm not quite halfway, I don't think. Is being on the board of groups like Launchpad 2X or the Entrepreneur Organization. We started an organization called Close Her for women in sales, and helping other women entrepreneurs break into what we call the 2% club. So like I mentioned, less than 2% of female founders will break $1 million in revenue. And my sort of BHAG goal, my personal goal beyond the business, is to help as many women as possible achieve that goal. And it's been a real treat to be on that journey with some of those women.
So what are some of the characteristics you see of the women founders who hit that mark?
Yeah, so I think 2 sort of driving characteristics. One is the drive for big goals. In my 20s, someone dared me to do an Ironman. And I said, all right, hold my beer. Here we go. Right. So women like that, women who are hyper competitive and reach for the big goals, I think is number one. And then two is confidence. And one of the things that I thoroughly enjoyed about Bernie Dixon's Launchpad 2X 3-day bootcamp that she has is she does an entire segment on confidence and women thinking about ourselves as CEOs, not owners of small businesses, not freelancers, not, you know, people that only deserve a six-figure business, but women that can truly run 20 to 60 to $100 million businesses. And that is us. And that we just need the skill set and the opportunity to get there.
So what's next for you and what's next for Smith Brown?
That's a really good question. I'm really excited about the way that my team has performed through the COVID crisis. So we are very fortunate. We are growing through the COVID crisis. And like I mentioned, we made a whole new business out of the crisis itself. So we are looking for other opportunities to find ways to help. And so I think we're very blessed and fortunate that our particular market, which is supply chain, heavy industrial and tech, wasn't hit as hard by the COVID experience. So we often say that supply chain is having a moment, quote unquote, right? So if you have read a New York Times article about supply chain and toilet paper, in the last 3 months, it's pretty clear that supply chain is having a moment. And so most of our clients have done really well, or they've had a need for service like us because clearly they're in it to win it at this point. And there are so many of my friends in town and around the country that are just doing great work in the wrong industry. So if you're doing great work and you happen to be in sports, it was a rough couple of months for you. Or if you happen to do great work and you're in travel, you know, luxury travel, it's been a rough 3 months. And so I would like to help those individuals. So understand that the only reason why one of the reasons why we're super fortunate in the current economic environment is because we happen to pick a really sort of unsexy space that I happen to know a lot about. And we lucked out. It could have been us. Right. And so the goal the end of 2020 and into 2021 is to help as many people as possible through this just awful catastrophe that's happened to the macro, you know, economy. And just sort of know that good karma happens, right? And that at the end of the day, if we can help other folks with jobs or opportunities or even part-time work, through this crisis, that it'll come back to us tenfold when we're all back to normal.
So now if there's a firm out there that may be frustrated with their growth in sales and marketing and wants to get a hold of you or somebody on your team, what's the website?
Yeah, super simple. We are smithbrownmarketing.com.
Good stuff. Well, Kara, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Yeah, Lee, thanks for having me.
All right, this is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember to support our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.